Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, for the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, the altar and the music both have a more mournful air than is customary during our Christmas season, which already comes to a close on Sunday with Candlemas. And it's mournful today because we are remembering the poor souls, as we do each month. We have our Requiem High Mass for their repose. The official saint today on the calendar is a great brave martyr who suffered every endurable torment, Saint Martina. She is one of the patronesses of Rome, and the great Pope Urban VIII was most devout to her, and he actually composed some hymns in her honor. But I want to tell you today about two other saints who are also honored today. And both of these very holy women had this in common. It seemed that in their life, they had no choice, and both at a certain point were forced into the convent, and both became very great saints. The first of these is a queen who started, her story is like a fairy tale. She started as a slave girl, and she ended up as a queen. She was an Anglo-Saxon from England, and she had been sold as a slave to the French. Now, this was during the Merovingian era, about which we hear something from time to time, because they were particularly wicked and corrupt. Well, she was sold into the palace as a slave, and a palace official, admiring her beauty, wanted her hand, and she refused to marry him. She was very virtuous and intelligent, and holy as well as beautiful. Bathilda, or Bathild, is her name. Saint Bathilda caught the eye of the king, and he was Clovis II. He was a descendant of the great Clovis who had converted France. And she did marry him, and they had a relatively happy life together, even though he was a wicked man who eventually died insane. They had three sons. When the king died, the sons were too young to be kings themselves, and so our saint took over as the regent, and she ruled the country wisely and well. Mindful of where she had come from, she did her very best to outlaw slavery, particularly the slavery of Christians. She established convents and monasteries and made it a strict law that it was forbidden to buy or sell religious offices, which is the terrible sin of simony that was going on quite a bit. And she wanted to unify the country. At the same time that she was a very great, powerful queen, she was very humble. She thought that it was her duty to wear jewels and to dress beautifully as befits her station in life. But a bishop whom she had helped during life, who himself had been a great goldsmith, and he made beautiful things for the altar of God, Saint Eligius, appeared to her and said, "You shouldn't be wearing those jewels. They're not for you." And so she took off all of her jewelry, and she donated it to a beautiful reliquary to hold a relic of the true cross of our Lord. One of the mistakes that she made, and can't be helped, is she appointed a man who turned out to be very wicked to a position of power, and his name was Ebroin. And eventually Ebroin led a revolt against the Queen Bathilda and forced her into a convent. But the thing of it is that she didn't mind at all being in the convent. The abbess, whom she had originally appointed, was a very holy nun, and she became very humble. She was a queen. But she started as a slave girl, and now she did the work of slaves willingly without anybody telling her. She just took it as her job to clean the bathrooms. Imagine that. And back then, people were awfully barbarian still, and cleaning a bathroom was no easy job. But she did it. She did it every day. She did it joyfully. One day towards the end of her life, she had fallen ill, but she didn't tell anybody because, like the little flower, she wanted still to suffer and to work on. She had a vision, and in the vision, she saw at Our Lady's altar a ladder and angels going up into heaven, and she understood that by her devotion to Mary, the angels would take her, after her death, up into heaven. She's a good saint to show us that. We can, regardless of what life deals out to us, children, we can always make the best choice for the greater honor and glory of God. And there's one thing that no one can take away from us, our possibility of going up Mary's ladder with the angels into heaven. Now, the other saint was a rather unlikely saint, but she was forced into the convent too, and this is a story. You may recall this very interesting story. Her name is St. Jacinta Mariscotti, and she ended up being a Franciscan sister, only she was from the nobility, and there was a young man around who was courting her younger sister, who was more beautiful than she. This too is a bit like a fairy tale. And eventually, the younger sister got asked to marry this handsome prince. And she thought, I'm the older sister. It's my right to be married first. And she pitched a fuss. And then she started to pout. There's something terrible about certain kinds of children who pout and give nobody any peace. They make a big frown, and they carry on, and they cry, and they stamp their feet, and they make life miserable for everybody in the family. Never be a pouter, not even for a while. She did it for a long time. Well, eventually, her parents couldn't take the pouting anymore, and they said, right, you are going off to the convent. And so they did. They packed her off to the convent. Now, because she was from the nobility, she had much money and power. And she said, you can make me live here, but you can't make me really be a nun. All right. So she obeyed just a few of the rules, as little as possible, really. And she made her room called a cell, a nun's cell. She made it as luxurious as possible. I always imagine St. Jacinta as having sort of like wall-to-wall carpeting and one of those big TV sets on the wall and a little mini bar and a popcorn maker. And every luxury she could possibly think of, she filled her room with that to make her life just as cozy and comfy as possible. And she rarely went to church, and she used as her excuse that she was sick. But she wasn't really. She was just carrying on in her room. Well, one day a priest, a Franciscan father, popped in to see her, thinking, poor dear, she's sick, she can't get to confession. And when he saw her room and the way she was living, he corrected her and said, you are breaking your rule and your vow of poverty, sister. You will never save your soul this way. And she was moved by that. So if a priest corrects us, we shouldn't try right away to defend ourselves. Most people do that because that's human nature and that's pride and stuff, but we should just accept it humbly. Well, she did, of all things, miraculous. And she got rid of the TV set that went out, and the popcorn maker went out, and the carpet went out, and all the rest, and pretty soon she had a bare cell, but she started to miss her old way of life. Sometimes when you have a reform, it's hard to keep it. So eventually, in came the TV set again, and the carpeting, and the easy chair, and all the rest of it. And she wasn't too much better than she was before. But this time, God intervened. Sometimes, when God sends a sickness, He sends it for one particular good purpose. And for her, it was she almost died, to make her think about saving or losing her immortal soul. This time, she went to confession, and she meant it. And when she got better, everything went out, and it never came back. And she started to do penances, and she started to raise money for the poor, and for noble people who had fallen on hard times, and for other good causes. She would beg money, because she was a Franciscan. And she became so holy that her advice was valued, and she was put in charge of training the new nuns who came into the convent called novices. She was very sensible and down to earth. Once upon a time, there was a very holy nun that everybody was talking about, and they asked Saint Jacinta her opinion of this particular nun, and she said something which struck me today. It's a good description of the holy souls in purgatory. She said, the sort of people who most appeal to me are those who are despised, who don't have any self-love, and who have very little sensible consolations. The cross, to suffer, to keep on bravely, in spite of the lack of all sweetness or attraction when we pray, that's a true sign of the Spirit of God. And so it is. It also, children, is a mark of all the souls in purgatory. They are exactly that way. They suffer, they carry on, they love God, they have no sweetness or joy in one sense, but in another sense, they're so very, very close to our Lord. Make a good resolution today, children, won't you? Well, not to be a pouter, for starters, and secondly, to help out those poor souls who are helpless themselves. Oh, And remember, you're never stuck. You may think, now what can I do? I'm stuck. I can't get out of this problem. I can't get out of this. Never think that way. Why? You can always escape. How could you escape? You have a ladder. Where do you think the ladder is? It's set up by the Blessed Mother's altar. There's angels on it. You can climb that ladder with Mary today, and who knows where that will take you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.